May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Maybe there will be a bike rally. We'll see. I'm struck by the phrase in our psalm reading today, Psalm 16, verse 6, "My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a goodly heritage." This idea of heritage is something that reflects on every one of the readings that we have assigned for today, and a really good message, I think, for us to take home and mull over during this week. It's a lot of this inheritance that had to do with this reading from 1 Kings, where Elijah was instructed by God to anoint Elisha to take his place. So it was time for Elijah to step down as prophet of God's word. That's not a particularly popular role to be a prophet, right? Because it's really very much about not watering down the core faith, about making sure that we are all held accountable to the faith that we proclaim and to pass it forward. And so often they were passing it forward to people who didn't like what they heard. And so they rebelled against the prophets. So it wasn't a very particularly popular role. But the way Elijah did this was to pass on, to take his cloak off and to place it on the shoulders of Elisha as a symbol of this passing forward that heritage. It's really about passing forward the story. It's about passing forward, Elijah passing forward the understanding of what it means to be the people of God, and saying that responsibility now is going to rest on Elisha to pass it forward. And so it got me thinking about things being passed forward. So I got a couple of things out of a box in my closet that I got to show you. Does anybody know what this is? Do you know? Well, the number of merit badges. This is a merit badge sash. So this is mine. And so it's showing different classes that I took in order to learn a bunch of different things that some of them I had gifts for. Like some of these are Morse code, and I'm a ham radio operator, and I learned in Boy Scouts how to say the alphabet in Morse code and all that. There's first aid, and I've ended up being emergency response teams before. And let's see, what was another one that I was thinking about here? Oh, there's electricity. I ended up being an electrical engineer for 25 years. And so I thought a lot about the people behind these badges who really shared, they carried forward, they sent to the next generation skills and gifts. And they showed me where I had skills and gifts, also where I didn't have some skills and gifts. And so part of this passing forward is for us to really recognize the gifts God has given us. And that relates to what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia, that there are a bunch of things that they've heard about, maybe engage in, that are not part of a heritage to pass on, right? A big long list. These are things for you not to pass on. But here's a whole bunch of other things that are part of our faith tradition. They're part of who we are as Christians. They're values that we hold dear and as crucial to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. So here's another sash that I had in my box. Do you know what this one is? Whoa, that's right. So Order of the Arrow, this is an Order of the Arrow sash, and this is another piece of scouting that is not about taking a class to learn a skill so that you can earn a badge. This is an election by your scout troop to say that they want to recognize you as a cheerful servant and as an exemplary scout. And so this is about character values more than skills. And so a lot of what we described again in that reading of Galatians is gifts, the gift of the Spirit, the kinds of values, of character values, of attributes that we are called to reflect because of our walk with Christ. And so I have another thing that I wear, this, right? And so this is also a symbol of a life that I want to commit myself to. It doesn't mean I've arrived, but it means I've committed my life to try to take on the mind of Christ and to put on Christ, just as Elijah gave his cloak to Elisha. In our baptism, we take on Christ. That's what Paul said. We take on Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins." So Paul was not making up a new faith. He was actually doing just the opposite. He was making sure that we don't water down our faith so we don't offend anybody out there. He was dealing in the Gentile world. He was establishing churches where there were lots of pagan places of worship all around him. And he was saying, we're not going to water this down. We're going to pass on what we've received. That's the role of the prophets. That's the role of Paul. That's the role of you and me, to not water it down. Let it stand on its own merits of what it means to be followers of Christ. I found it really interesting to dive into these three people who offered or were asked to follow Jesus and how they responded, because there are some interesting attributes or lessons, I guess I should say, from each of those three people. The first was that he said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said that he himself didn't even have a place to lay his head. And the message from that was intended to say, give a message to all true followers that there is involved in the work of following, not just believing in Jesus, but following Jesus. There will be hardship. There will be some rejection. There will be some discomfort. And there will be some putting aside of security for the sake of what we're called to do. What it requires is determination. And that's one quality we all need to reflect on. How determined am I to carry that banner of my faith in my day? The second person who followed Jesus agreed, but they said they wanted to first go and bury their father. And Jesus said, the time is now. He said, right now. There is no waiting. There is no delay. It's about right now. Well, that follower didn't realize that Jesus was only probably 1 or 2 weeks left before he would die on the cross. And he knew he had an important mission. He had to get compassion and passion and determination into his followers before he wasn't going to be around anymore. He didn't have much time to accomplish that. He needed to get it done. But I think the message for us is that there's a danger in putting it off. Well, I'm going to wait to go to church until I have nothing else planned that day. Or I'm going to wait to go to a Bible study until I've read the whole Bible from cover to cover first so I know I'm ready. Or, you know, whatever that may be, Jesus' message is don't put it off. Don't put it off. The third person who wanted to follow Jesus asked if he could say goodbye to his family first. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. He was saying that if people are too busy looking back at where they've been, they're going to forget where they were headed. They're going to forget what their goal was. And I can certainly think of cases in my life that I got so distracted with something that I ended up never accomplishing what my original goal was. I think it is something we all need to deal with, to not let go of the goal, and certainly so in our spiritual lives. So the point of these stories is not about a used cloak being handed down to somebody else. It wasn't about how to plow a field in a good, effective way. It's about following God's call. And following God's call to each of us with determination and not putting it off and staying focused on what lies ahead, on what the goal is. Elijah, Paul, and Jesus taught how very important it is for us to be anchored in the faith that we've received and to really think about who are the people who helped develop that heritage in us. I showed you examples of the heritage that I got from scouting, which was really effective. There's a list like that of people who have certainly built the heritage that I have, not just my family. In fact, they really didn't attend church regularly. We didn't say prayers at home. It was through other people that I really had that built into my faith heritage. So how precious is your own spiritual heritage to you? Who are the people who passed that heritage on to you? Think about who those people were and what they did. And how are you keeping that heritage alive? What are you doing with that heritage that you have? What is the commitment and what is the passion of faith that you are passing on to the next generation? I read once that we are only one generation away from Christian faith being lost. And the point to it was every generation has the responsibility to carry it forward, right? It's our job to show what it means to live that life the best we can, the best that we understand, and to pass it on. And what are the deliberate ways we have of passing it on? I think about sharing stories of God incidents. We do that around the coffee table here, and Ruth and I do it at home. Oh, there was another God incident today. See, here we don't believe in coincidences. There's no such thing. They're God incidents. And so when we spot those things, we need to recognize, I could have missed that. I could have missed God being present in my life. And so let's talk about with each other those God incidents. I know what a joy it is for me to have that particular blessing of being head of school for our preschool, because I get to occasionally give a child their first Bible. And I have a really great edition for kids. If you want to know about it, let's talk about it during coffee hour. I have a great one. And to they ask for recommendations of what Bible to buy, and I say, please let me give your child the Bible. And so that's a great way to do it. And others just offer to pray for someone's need. I've never really been turned down from saying, may I pray about that for you. So we are responsible as individuals, we are responsible as a community to ensure that the Christian faith does not become extinct in our generation. It's our responsibility to pass it forward. The cloak has been passed to us to show the world that our Christian faith is relevant. In fact, more than relevant, it is vitally important for the world right now. Amen.